It says that they overcame. Come on, put it up for me. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Come on, read it with me one more time. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. What is it talking about? This is talking about in a future time when Satan is released upon the earth, that the saints of God overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody say, I believe in the blood. But they also came him by the word of their testimony. Somebody say, there's power in a testimony. There's power in the testimony. Some people get victory and lose the victory because they never testified. Oh, you better hear what I'm saying. Sometimes we get breakthroughs. Sometimes we get miracles. But because we did not glorify God and we did not testify him and give honor where what honor is due, they lost some of their victory. That word overcame doesn't just mean just conquering. It actually means to subdue. So sometimes you testify while you're still overcoming. That's why the old saints used to sing a song, don't wait till the battle is over, shout now. So I believe I'll testify, as they say, while I have this chance. I must testify of the goodness of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. We have seen the miraculous hand of the Lord in this church. We heard about signs and wonders. I've read about signs and wonders. I read about what he did in the Bible. I read about how he opened the Red Sea. I read about how the 10 plagues came upon Egypt. But I am here to tell you that the same God that did it back then is doing it. Somebody say right now. You are standing in a sign and a wonder. Now, during our last series called The Reset, I talked about the recovery anointing, and I talked about how God miraculously brought us into this building. How many heard that? How many heard that testimony? If not, you've got a lot of catching up to do online. Amen. But we talked about how God miraculously brought us over. And while we were being brought over, we had to overcome a lot of obstacles because the enemy was trying to stop us from getting into this place, because this place is a portal. It's a staircase. I will talk to you about that in just a couple of weeks. And God is moving in this place and in this city, and this church, this actual building, is a gateway into the city. And so the principalities of this region did not want us to have this building. And so they warred vehemently against us and me in particular. Are you with me? But God miraculously, somebody say miraculously, brought us into this place. Amen. And so we did this through prayer. He did this through his power. He did this through his mind. And he did it by his spirit. Amen. And so you're standing in a sign and a wonder. And this last year in particular was a year of distinction. Say that with me, a year of distinction. In other words, what's distinction? God made a difference between us and the world. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about the year of distinction. Somebody say, this is my year of distinction. And his hand, if you haven't noticed, is on this ministry. Somebody say, his hand is on this ministry. But his hand is not just on this ministry, it's on everyone connected to this ministry. Oh, I'm going to help you in the Holy Ghost today if you rock with your boy. Amen. Everyone connected to this ministry is come on, his hand is on you. Say, his hand is on me. And guess what? The Lord told me, he says, I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started. Exodus 8 and 20. Turn there in your Bible. Exodus 8 and 20. Amen. Read this with me. As you turn in there in your Bible, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, and we know this is during the time of the 10 plagues, right? When God told Moses to go set his people free, amen, to go set his people free. He says, and the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh as he comes out of the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may what? that they may what? Let my people go that they may serve me. If you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also on the ground which they stand. Look at what it says. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen. In other words, I will make a distinction in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. Read verse 23 with me. And I will make a what? Difference. Somebody say that there's a difference. I will make a what? Difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. God has made a distinction between those of us that are in Goshen. He was talking about his literal people, Israel, at that time. But how many know that we're the seed of Abraham, all that have received Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior? And I want to let you know there's a spiritual Goshen right now. And we talked a couple of weeks ago, about how do we get to Goshen. There are spiritual strategies that take you to spiritual Goshen. Goshen is the garden ground. It was the boundary by which the enemy could not cross. Flies know no boundaries. But when it got to Goshen, it stopped it then. When plague hit, it stopped at Goshen. It says, oh, those are God's people. We're not authorized to touch them. They're in the same area, but I'm not authorized. See, the enemy is not authorized to touch God's people. Somebody say he's not authorized. In other words, when flies, demons, spirits, depression comes after you, they see a mark on you and says, that's a different type of person. I can't touch them right there. Next time the devil tries to attack you, say, I'm different. We are special in the sight of the Lord, and he will never destroy the righteous with the wicked. The Bible says we'll see 10,000 fall at one side and 1,000 at that right hand, but it shall not come nigh our dwelling. COVID couldn't come nigh our dwelling. It may have tried to attack, but it couldn't take you out. Why? Because there's a distinction. He treats us differently. I ain't regular. We're not common. We've been saying it by faith, but I want to let you know he showed us. Rock with your boy. Key point, there's a different anointing on you right now. There's a different anointing on you right now. You're different. That's why your friends always walk up to you and they say, it's something different about you. How many of y'all raise your hand? I don't know what it is about you, but something different. It's that distinctive anointing. It's that distinction on you. Why they choose you even though you may not be qualified. Why they want to hang around you for lunch and nobody else. They may not talk to you, but when there's a problem, they come and talk to you. I don't know why I feel like I can talk to you. Why? It's because it's that different anointing. They didn't bless nobody else, but they bless you. They didn't have your size. They didn't have nobody else's size, but they got one size left and they gave it to you. Don't you love it? I got a 9.5 in the back, baby. I got a 14 in the back. Don't you worry. Let me go get this for you. I don't know. I just like you. Somebody say that's that different stuff. And I want to let you know, Fountain got something different on you. Fountain, you got something different on you. Because of that, God will give you instructions and insight that he does not give to others. Just before the system was about to shake in Egypt, God told the Israelites what to do. He gave them special instructions. Let's read it here. Exodus 12:21. This is after all the other plagues had happened. And remember, Pharaoh cursed Moses and says, I will kill all the firstborn. And God reversed that curse. You remember that? Now, I need you to understand that this 10 plagues was Egypt's pandemic. You better hear me. Listen to me close. So he gives them special instructions before the worst part of the pandemic hit. Verse 21 says, read it with me. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill what? The Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. In other words, put blood of the lamb on the what? Doorpost. And none of you shall go out of the door of this house until morning. Read it one more time. And none of you shall go out the door of this house until morning. In other words, till it's over, till the death angel passes over, put the blood on your doorpost. Because when that death spirit comes, it sees the blood and says, I see the blood of the lamb. I can't go in this house. I've been instructed to touch everyone that isn't covered with the blood. That's why the Bible says when we got saved, he sprinkled us with his blood. Death can't come and get you when it wants to. I want you to see here that Moses gave a stay-at-home order. Are you listening? Moses gave a nationwide stay-at-home order. Stay in your house and don't come out. And God gave Moses specific instructions before the pandemic. God gave us instructions before the pandemic too. We are a praying church. We will be before the Lord. And the Bible promises us that if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our path, right? If we lean not to our what own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? Direct your path. But you got to trust the Lord with all your what? In other words, you can't look at the news. You can't look at the Dow. You can't look at what everybody else is doing. I got to trust the Lord with all my heart. And he gave us explicit and specific instructions. And the thing about it, family, is when God was given the instructions to me and Lady C, we did not know why. Oh, let me talk to you. Just before this thing hit, y'all remember January hit, right? Well, actually, in November, I started giving vision. You with me? He gave us specific instructions, and look at this. The blood, he told them how to prepare for calamity that was coming. He says the blood would cover them in calamity, but there were specific instructions in the application of the blood. And God gave me and Lady C a word in advance before the pandemic. We didn't, who would have ever known that the pandemic was coming? And we begin to get, God, see, let me say this to you. God has a cadence. What is a cadence? It's how the marching band and the, you know, when the army marches and they'll have the drum majors playing. And however fast they're playing, that's how fast the army marches. And so there's a cadence in the spirit. I want you to understand that. In other words, there's a timing. When God tells you to do something, you must move at his cadence. You can't do it when you want to. And sometimes, you'll hear God moving like this, and sometimes you'll hear. And Lady C and I, we heard. He gave us strategic moves to make. Strategic moves financially, of what not to spend. He told us where to put money. I talked to the board, I said, no, we're going to move it like this. No, I don't know why, but I feel we shouldn't spend this right now. Y'all remember we were getting ready to do the whole exterior of our building and we were going to do a whole different design? Y'all remember that? And the Lord said, no, it's too expensive right now and it's not going to make sense. Because even though I want you to build this for my glory, I want you to make sure that you're a good steward. So we held it, we saved it, we stacked it. Now imagine if we had spent all that money and we weren't in the building for a year. Now, we didn't know there was a pandemic coming. We just heard. That's what we heard in the spirit. And that's why it's so important to pray. Are you listening to me? So we did that. Remember, he also gave us specific instructions about the order of our service. Y'all remember when everyone was like, are you going to cut the service time? You and Lady C, y'all going to open the service? You going to change the name of the church? Come on. So we're going to be lightning in a bottle. We need to be about this amount of time. You remember all them instructions? And some of y'all was like, I don't know. I bet the children of Israel was asking Moses that too. We got to get a blood of a lamb. This good lamb, we could just eat this. But see, there are some instructions that laity is not qualified for. See, there's the pulpit perspective and there's a pew perspective. And sometimes we'll judge the pulpit from the pew, but we don't know what God is saying to the man behind the pulpit. And there's a way that God talks to me because I'm responsible. And I didn't know all the details. He says, you just better do what I say, and you better do it now. He even gave us adjustments to our business model. He says, I want you to get it. I want you to make it so like the office is online. Get that app together. Anything you want to do at the office, you should be able to do on the app. He was telling us this in January. Are you listening to me? And God demanded we rebrand, change the name, change the logo, change the web presence. He says, get it together. And we were moving. And I had the office. We was in there, listen, make bricks with no straw. Get it together. Figure it out. Get a committee together. Call the technical people. Call Chris. Call Jude. Get them together. Key point here, following God's instructions will help you avoid disaster. Following his instructions will help you avoid disaster. Oh, rock with your boy. I promise you, we going somewhere. God gave us a cadence to follow, even down to the messages I preached. Do y'all remember dead presidents? I got a series out called Dead Presidents. We did it, I think it was 2019, somewhere on there, 2018, 2019. And God was talking about how to trust him when the money fails. He was talking about how to trust him in the sabbatical year, in the year where you can't sow and you can't reap, and how God will take care of you. You remember them words? Do y'all remember messages like Free From Fear, which I was preaching in the beginning of the pandemic? Come on. And he told me, he says, you preach to my people about fear. And what happened when COVID hit? Pandemonium. But God had already given us instructions and a prophetic word before it came. We knew how to trust him. We knew what to do. Are you listening to me? Listen. He told me what to do. And God has not only did I teach the word, y'all heard the word and you obeyed. You believed on the word of God. God has performed his word. God brought us through this pandemic in a supernatural fashion. Our church didn't just survive, we thrived. Amen. Exodus 12, it says, look at this. Exodus 12, verse 34. So the people took their dough. Look at this. This is after they came out of the pandemic. Catch this. After the spirit of death crossed over. It says, so the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, as they had asked from the Egyptians, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of who? The Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. In other words, there wasn't just a pandemic. As a result, all the wealth transferred from the world system, Egypt, over to the people of God. The pandemic ended with a recovery anointing. Oh, you better catch this. In other words, remember, how did all the wealth get into Egypt? Joseph collected it during the previous pandemic when there was a famine. The Bible says the money failed and he collected all the gold and silver. So all the wealth in the world was in Egypt. Then after the pandemic during Moses' time, all that wealth transferred over to the children of Israel. So I need you to understand that when they got the articles of silver and gold, it came from Egypt and it was from all the other surrounding nations that had come from many years before. In other words, they completely bankrupt Egypt. In other words, let me tell you this, key point, it ain't over till you leave with the wealth on your back. Y'all think the pandemic is over. It's not over until you leave with Egypt money. Now, we read it, but I want to let you know we experienced it. Now, let me tell you this testimony. Remember in November 2019, Lady C and I had given the vision. On that vision, we listed about 33 different projects that we were going to do in between 5 to 7 years. It was going to take about 5 to 7 years because all of them were pretty major projects. Do you remember that? Do you remember it included the stage, the solar panels, right? The roof, right? Getting that big empty lot that we have next to us, the sanctuary, the lobby, right? Doing the name change and all those different things. We had everything from getting a lift to security cameras. Y'all remember that? And then we said, oh, you know, one day we may have a TV ministry, streaming ministry. You remember that? Right? And remember, I kept showing the pictures of the graphics of the lobby. Do you remember that? And we showed all that and said, okay, it's going to take us about 5 to 7 years. And everybody was excited. Hey, we're going to get a new app, and everything's going to be great, and we're going to get the new board together, and we're going to get all these new committees. We're going to get the Spanish ministry together. We were talking about all of that. Y'all remember? Okay. And then right after we gave it, a pandemic hit. So I thought, okay, Lord, and matter of fact, and to do all these projects, we're going to have a big Super Sunday, probably a couple of them over 5 to 7 years. And for those of you who don't know who our Super Sunday, what Super Sunday is, it's our big capital campaign, right? Where we raise money to do these projects, right? That's biblical, right? That you raise money to build the temple. So our first project was we were going to try to get the stage done, right? God had supernaturally given us the lot just before the pandemic. Remember, the Lord told me, email the lady now, the lady who owned it. He says, do it now, do it now. I emailed her. It was the day before she decided to put it up in the public, you know, for the public to see, which I would have been fighting with everybody to get it because we can't afford for McDonald's to be there, right? Come on, y'all, imagine pulling up here and it's McDonald's right there. And because I listened to the cadence, she went back to her email and said, well, since you sent it first, I'm going to give you first right of refusal. So we got the land, and we got it at a cheaper price than what we had. I thought I was going to have to refinance, raise money. The bank said, no, we expected you to get that. We just going to, what do they call that? Not even refinance. What's it called? A modification. She modified our loan, gave us a 1% lower interest rate. Our interest rate is 3.875. We got a residential rate on a commercial building. Y'all, anybody know anything about real estate? Are you listening to me? We grabbed the land. Our payment went up $1,000. Now, this is before the pandemic. Then the pandemic hits, and I'm like, okay, Lord, well, you've done great things, so we'll just hold, and we'll just wait for everything to get done, because I'm definitely not going to be collecting money from people during a pandemic. Everybody off work. We don't know what's happening. That sounds reasonable, right? I said, Lord, just if you could just get us through this, because we're shutting the door. We don't have no TV ministry. We don't have none of that, Lord. And he said to me, he said, son, I want you to go to your Bible. And so I went to the Bible, and he says, I'm going to build this house. I'm going to build this house. Psalms 127 says, it says, except the Lord build the house. Read it with me one more time. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. In other words, if I don't build it, if you try to build it, you using your flesh, it ain't gonna work. But he says, I'm getting ready to show you who I am. You might have forgot. You must have forgot, but I'm getting ready to show you. So he says, now here's the thing. He reminded me of a scripture. He says, I upholdeth you. It's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It says, God upholds things by the word of his power. Right? That's what the scripture says. He says, he upholds things by the word. In other words, his power in his word alone will uphold things. As a matter of fact, it says all things. He says, I'm going to hold this church up by my word. You better hear me. I'm going to hold this church up by my word. He says, I'm going to do all that you asked me to do. I'm going to do the lights. I'm going to do the stage. I'm going to do it all. He says, but I don't ever want you to get confused. I'm telling you exactly what he told me. He says, I don't ever want you to be confused that when you get your little cameras, that's how he talked to me. You know, you talk to your kid, now when you get your little stuff together, after you get your little lobby together, after you get your little stage together, come on, after you get your little logo together and all that, listen, I told you to do it all, but I want you to understand, I don't ever want you to get confused that it was your little stuff that built this church. I am the Lord of this church. I'm the God of this church. Matter of fact, he said, I don't need anything else except the word of my power. And why did he call it the word of his power? Because there's power in his word. So he says, I'm going to sit my servant right here, and I want you to get over your little fear. Yeah, he called it little. Get your little fear together about them seeing the way you walk. Come on. About the little gap in your tooth. He said, get over it. So yeah, y'all see me. I got a little dip in my walk. Get over it. I did. You should too. It ain't going to be like this always, because the same God that built this church is going to heal my body. I declare before you that the Lord God Jehovah is Jehovah Rapha, and he's a healer. And the same way he straightened this sanctuary out, he's going to straighten me out too. It's already at work. But it's something that happens when you got to be humble. Now listen to me. He said, I'm going to sit my servant right here, and you're going to teach what I tell you to teach. You're not going to preach what's popular. You're going to say the things I tell you to say, and you're going to do the things I tell you to do. So I begin to preach God's word. Y'all know. I begin to preach his word, and y'all remember a teaching I did talking about the empty seats, how God was going to take those who were seated in the ash heap and cause them to sit in seats next to princes. And I said, and with all these people going home, and with all these people, listen to me, being sent home, I said, there's a lot of empty seats. Y'all remember that word? And I said, and some of y'all getting ready to change seats. Stop complaining about the seats you're not in, because God's going to change seats. And I begin to prophesy to you about new businesses, new ventures, new opportunities. Y'all heard the word, you obeyed the word. And how many of you started business? How many of you got real creative during the pandemic and God started blessing you and flourishing you? I preached the word about sowing in the year of famine and how Isaac received 100-fold in that same year. And it's not just the seed, it's the soil. And God said in the year of the pandemic, it's going to be a famine field for everybody else, but it's going to produce for you. Y'all remember them prophecies? I started prophesying online. I'm like, Lord, I don't even want to be on here. And now you got me out of my teacher mode. But God performed his word. And then I talked to you about suddenly seasons in John chapter 6. When Jesus told his disciples to go to the other side to preach the gospel. And later he came walking on the water while they were in a storm. Are you listening to me? And the Bible says he calmed the storm. But it says this, something very interesting in John chapter 6. It says he stepped on the boat and immediately they were on the other side. And most of the time when we talk, because there's two situations where he calms the storm, but this one he gets on and the Bible says immediately they transport it from one area to another area. Somebody say suddenly. And I begin to prophesy to you that you're going to come into this pandemic one way, but when you come out, suddenly you're going to be on the other side. Suddenly you will be transported. Your family and your marriage was one way, but immediately it's going to be a supernatural change. I talked about supernatural shifts. And I was prophesying it to you, but God says, I need you to get it out of your mouth because I'm going to do it for you. He did it. Somebody say he did it. God did not let any of my words fall to the ground. Because I was out there like, you know, when you're saying that kind of stuff, you out there. And you recorded. So it's receipts in the air. Come on, somebody say receipts. Folks are good at keeping receipts. They can't remember his word, but they can keep receipts. So God sometimes has the prophetic out there saying stuff. And I'm telling you, prophets, when they're saying it, they're thinking, oh God, you got me out here. Because they can't see you, but they can see me. Somebody say amen. So he says, now watch what I do. So miracles, promotions, breakthrough, deliverances, letters started coming in. People started texting. People started emailing. Listen, we started preaching this word in here. And, you know, I'm like, Lord, check the offering, baby. Make sure it came in. I don't know how many people were on. We don't know how many people was watching. And, you know, we were waiting for 10 people to go, oh, Lord, 10 people got on. Praise the Lord. Hey, how you? We just call by my name. Hey, Leela, how you doing? Hey, John. Hey, brother John's on. Hey, brother Chris is on. Hey, how you doing? And then, oh, Pastor, I'm blessed by the word. And one day I was sitting at my dinner table with the kids and my wife, and they were talking to me, and I went somewhere. They know what I do. I'd be talking, yeah. And then anybody know prophetic people, we can go places real quick and come back and continue the conversation. But the Lord showed me a vision of TV cameras. You better hear me. He showed me a vision of TV cameras. I had never seen it before, but remember I talked to you about the imagination. I said, once I see it, then I can go. I had heard about it. I was not excited about it, but I hadn't seen it. I saw it. And I saw a sea of people, and I saw cameras. And he says, as you are ministering my word, and what I saw were checks coming in. Now, I'm not motivated by money. I quit a job to come to this. Are you listening to me? But he says, I'm going to increase this house through the preach word. He says, so stop doing it like you on Facebook and start acting like you on TV. He says, even though it's not there, shift your mindset to TV. So y'all remember when the shift happened? And I wasn't saying hi to nobody anymore. He says, you preach like it's 10,000 people watching, even if it's three. So I begin to do that because God always changes the mindset before he brings a manifestation. Because as a man thinketh, so it wasn't, listen, it wasn't the manifestation, it was the mindset. So he had to have me shift. So they changed it up. And Sister Karen and Sister Gingy and Jason and them, we got it together. We said, we're going to act like we're a real production team. And so we have some people with some skills that are working the industry, and we shifted it up. We changed it up. And I started, hey, welcome, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Fountain of Love. And we had to work on it because we was stuttering. We was like, oh my God, this is live. So, and Lady C and I, we figured it out. She was terrified to be in front of people too. But because the Lord had given us instructions, January through March, who was welcoming the people with me? Lady C was. So the very thing, come on, listen to me. The very thing that he was giving us instructions to do was now the new requirement. We had to shorten our service to an hour, 15, an hour, 30 minutes. We were like, oh man, we shortening it. But I found out 5 minutes online is a long time. 5 minutes in here ain't the same as 5 minutes online. You didn't swipe left already. 3 minutes, boom. And I learned, I said, you can say a whole lot in 5 minutes. Go look at a TED Talk and watch how much information they give you in that short amount of time. And they be on there killing. He said, you're going to learn how to use time and mention words quickly. So I said, okay, Lord. So everything that we were doing, the office was already online because we had done the app because the Lord told us to in January. He said, get it done. In other words, those instructions helped us avoid disaster. We had just got finished training all the elders to start helping me with all the counseling, and we got prepared to do it online. So people didn't have to wait 10 years to meet with me. So the elders were in place. The counseling was in place. Then I put a counseling administrator so they didn't have to come to me anymore. Because I'm spending 20 hours studying and getting ready to orchestrate all of this. So if you got to find out, oh, when is Jesse going to meet with the counselor? So I'm juggling. No, he says, no, Moses, get you 70 elders. So we did that. In other words, God gave us instructions to avoid disaster. So the ministry, the whole business model shifted online. You thought it was just the restaurants that had to figure it out. No, the church had to figure it out. Are you listening to me? Because we obeyed him. And then he says, now listen, as we started preaching, I want to tell you, wealth came into this church in an unprecedented manner. A great Wednesday night offering was $3,000 before the pandemic. When I obey God, he says, sit here and teach the word. $12,000 started coming in on Wednesday night. Bible study. Oh, and my wife is like, I'm like, what in the world is going on? Maybe it's one person. No. See, God was increasing his people because they started obeying the word. He didn't do it with a whole bunch of new people. He did it with y'all. And I'm like, what's happening here? He says, I told you I'm going to build this house. So then all this money started coming in. And I'm like, okay, Lord, well, let me just stack these chips. Let me be like Joseph. He says, no. You're going to build this church. You're going to do everything you said you're going to do. And we're going to do it this year. I was like, Lord, you tripping. Because see, if it worked, everybody going to glorify you. But if it don't work, they're going to blame me. That's how it worked. If it happened, it's going to be like, well, you didn't do this. The Lord did it. But it didn't fail. I'm like, you did this. It wasn't the Lord. Folks, funny. I said, you got me out here. I said, you got me out here, Lord. So God began to do it. Now, normally I operate with Able Contracting, which is Apostle Steve's, who has helped us build our Future Center. That's my guy. Somebody said, that's my guy. And anybody done any building, once you get a good contractor, you don't go with anybody else. Especially one who's saved, Holy Ghost filled, and runs a church himself. So he understands. And he sees me as a spiritual son. Amen. And so we rock together. But because of COVID requirements, we could not do that. He says, Pastor, I've got other projects going on, and they have put new requirements on contractors that you can't be an electrician or a carpenter in one area and then come work in another area in the same time. Because they're marking your regions because they don't want stuff transferred. So you can't come from Orange County and come over to LA County. He says, and we have to stop every so many hours and clean. And then you got to bring a different crews in and this, and you can't touch the same equipment, and you got to have. So he says, in other words, it's going to drive the cost of your project up. Then as the pandemic went on, it started shutting all projects down. So I said, Lord, how am I going to get these permits and I don't have a GC? How am I going to do these things and I don't have a GC? While this is going on and Dr. Steves and I were working with the board to get things done, what ends up happening is, oh Lord, I'm almost out of time here. Can I take my time? I get an email from Bishop Smith. He says, hey Pastor, I just want to pass on this guy. I got a friend. This is how he said, I got a friend who's looking to maybe help out a church or so. And I said, okay, well that's nice. Well, praise God, you know, amen. Right, because I'm like, everybody looking to do something, right? I don't know your work. I don't, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to come in here and fool around, right? I'm not going to be your test tube. I'm not going to be your guinea pig for you to figure out what you're doing in my building. No. I play zero games, for those of you who don't know, when it comes to business. So I said, okay. So then Dr. C's finally tells me I can't do it. And I said, well, Lord, you know, if you don't want me to do it, then, you know, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to make a way. So the Lord says, call Bishop Smith. I'm like, I don't want to call him about this. Why can't we just stack the chips and like be cool and do it afterward? He said, I said, call Bishop Smith. And he's always clapping at me. Yep. And so I call Bishop Smith. Bishop Smith says, oh yes, this gentleman, can I give him your number? So I give the guy my number. He calls me. He says, hey, Pastor Neil, I heard your name from Bishop Smith. I asked him to give me pastors full of integrity. And so you came up, and he only gave me a few names, and so I decided to call you. I prayed, and the Lord told me to call you. I said, oh, you prayed? He says, oh yes, I'm a, well, he started off with, he says, well, let me tell you a little bit about myself. He says, I'm an ex-drug dealer. That's how he started the conversation. And I'm behind the thing like, oh, Lord, here we go. Because, boy, it'd be some con artist. It'd be, you know. He said, I'm an ex-drug dealer. But the Lord saved me. And after the Lord saved me, he said, after the Lord saved me, I couldn't continue to sell drugs. So I asked God for another job. I said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so he said, okay. And so he showed me how to start remodeling bathrooms. So I started remodeling bathrooms and I got pretty good at it. So I, had a remodeling business. I said, well, praise the Lord. He says, so I was wondering if there's anything that I could remodel at your church. I said, well, I do have a remodeling project, but it's kind of large. He says, well, tell me about your project. So I told him about my project, right? And I was trying to make it too big for him. In other words, you know how you tell people stuff to scare them off? And I started using technical, like, building terms, at least the ones I learned from Al and Cheryl, right? I was trying to, and I was like, yes, we need permits from the city because we have to do all the infrastructure, because it's not just the lights, it's the lighting infrastructure, right? To support the lights. And I used the word infrastructure. I said, we got to change the whole panel in the back. And then, we have phase 3 power. I learned. I listened to it's because it used to be a factory, because there's a lot of power. And so we need to do all these. And so I'm using all these terms. He's like, okay. He said, well, listen, can I meet with you? Can you and your main guy come down and I meet with you and walk through the sanctuary? So I said, okay, well, come down and meet me. So he comes down and he's got his other guy and everything, and we elbow bump and everything like that. And so he says, hey, let's walk through the building. So we walk through the building. He says, wow, look at this place. He walked through there. He says, wow, look at this place. He says, man, God has really blessed you. I said, yes, he has. He says, oh, by the way, I'm a pastor. Now, remember my last GC, he's a pastor. So another GC, he's a pastor. He says, I'm not the senior pastor. I'm the pastor over business. And he named the very large church that he was a part of. His name is Mike Rovner. Right? And he says, and he says, this is beautiful. He says, so you want to do this? You want to tear down this? I said, yeah, we got to do a whole new stage. We got to do all these things. And so he says, after we finished the tour, it was me and Cheryl. Cheryl, you remember? And Cheryl is a longtime construction manager, so he knows the business. So he was here vetting the guy. So I'm going to talk, I'm going to be nice, but you watch with your good eye. That's how we do it. You look at him like this. Right? So what ends up happening is the guy, we're standing here on the stage with this guy, and he looks at his main, like, manager, and he says, so what do you think? He just shook his head like that. The guy didn't say much. He just nodded his head. He says, so let me tell you, I'm Mike Rovner, and we have a bunch of projects. Remember I told you how we were a renovation company? I said, yes. He says, so God blesses to the point that we do over $100 million in revenue a year now. And I have like 200 or 300 employees. And we have a bunch of projects. And he says, and because we had a bunch of projects and due to COVID, everything's been shut down. And he says, but because of the size of my organization, we got the largest PPP loan from this particular bank. And you remember PPP loan, you have to pay your employees. That's the purpose of it. So everything was done legit. He says, but I got these things, and I don't have any projects. So he said, so I went to prayer, and the Lord said, I said, Lord, what do I do? He says, I want you to bless churches. And I said, well, I said, so how many churches are you doing? He says, yours. He said, so I'm going to do all the work free of labor. Somebody shout unto God. He said, I'm going to do all the labor for free. All of it. I'm going to do all the labor for free. And I said, okay, well, let me get the contract. He said, well, y'all work that out. They showed up the next day. I'm like, we don't even have no contracts. He said, we going to work without a contract. So I said, Cheryl, hurry up and get this contract together. We worked with our attorney, got the contract together. They were already working. I'm telling you, they knocked this whole stage out. They knocked all the ground. Let me give you an understanding. When you pull up carpet in a building like this, there's glue still left on the floor. If anybody know anything, you can't put new carpet down without taking up that old glue. When you have old glue like that, it has to be beat blasted. In other words, you have to sandblast that glue off. With this type of square footage, just be beat blasting the floor is $30,000 by itself. So you understand. They did all the premise. They did all the electrical. They demoed all the bathrooms. How many brothers demoed the bathrooms the first time? Y'all remember how hard that work was? They knocked that stuff out in a day. They came in here like worker ants. They didn't smoke. They didn't drink. They didn't cuss. They were, hello, sir. I mean, I was like, I don't know what's going on here. He says, I make sure I keep a Christian environment in all my work sites. They came in here and knocked this place out. Free. Of labor. We just had to pay for the materials. Then the money just kept coming in. I'm like, Lord, he says, what do you want in this building? So the team came together and started putting everything together and designing. Mel and the construction team, Lady C, you know, they did all this little wild stuff. I said, okay, all right, y'all go on and do it. You know, because I was going to be conservative. I don't want the carpet too psychedelic, dizzying up my elderly folks. They walk into the bathroom and fall on the ground. They look into the carpet like, oh my goodness. But the Lord says, do not build it for your generation. He said, you build it for the generation I'm sending you after. Why we got to do all that? This ain't for you. You already know Jesus. Jesus is the light. We don't need no lights. He said, don't build it for them. Build it for the next generation and the generation to come after. I said, okay, Lord. So we built it, and does it not look beautiful? Did God do the miraculous? Listen to me. Then he says, I want you to go get it yourself. I said, go get what? He says, I want you to go to Egypt too. I said, what you mean? He says, yeah, Egypt giving away money. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I said, but Lord, you know, I'm not even sure we need it. You know, I want to use my faith. He said, no. I want you to go ahead and I want you to do it. I said, okay. So we went and we did it. He says, now make sure you follow all the instructions and follow all the rules. We did that. Come on. Everything decently and in order. And then afterward, it was forgiven. But if it's forgiven and you have it left over, you get to do what you want with it. So he says, you save that for boat money because I need you to get a boat so you can go to the other side. I said, what boat? Look at that camera right there. He says, that's your boat. Oh, help me. Listen, remember when Jesus wanted to preach the gospel to the multitudes, he asked Peter to borrow his what? Boat. When you study that out, he got in the boat and pushed out a little way. When you study socially and the historical and all of the, the background, you found out that as he was testifying and preaching, his voice was bouncing off the mountains, which amplified his voice. He says, so I need you to get a boat that amplifies your voice. So I'm going to give you the resources to make sure that you get your boat. Are you listening? I want you to catch this. Because of what God did, we completed 25 out of 33 projects in 15 months. On that 5 to 7 year plan, we had 33 projects. It was supposed to take 5 to 7 years, and God did 25 of them. In 15 months. Somebody say, immediately we were on the other side. Finally, the church is actually caught up with our anointing. Are you listening to me? And the Lord said, I said, Lord, you did this. You know, you did this in supernatural fashion. And I want you to catch this. He says, because Egypt has to pay. You missed it. He says, Egypt has to pay. He says, go back and check your Bible. Egypt has to pay for keeping God's people in bondage. I always make Egypt pay. I said, Lord, he says, Exodus 9 and 1. When Moses first went to Pharaoh, he says, let my people go so they may worship me. And he says, if you don't let my people go, I'm going to bring plagues. And at the end of the plague, they had to turn over their wealth because they kept them from worshiping. I said, okay. He says, and what did they tell my people they couldn't do in 2020? They stopped us from worshiping. He says, so anytime Egypt keeps my people from worshiping, Egypt must pay reparations. I said, what, Lord? He said, yeah. He says, they got to pay. And it's all legit, legal money. And he says, this is why the pandemic ain't over until you leave with the wealth on your back. Oh, we finished this project and ended up with more money in our coffers than when we started the pandemic. Come on, people of God. And the Lord said, tell my people, praise God for this house because their house is next. Praise God for what happened in his house because your house is next. The Bible declares that the house of the Lord and your house is connected. Put it up there. Haggai chapter 1. Right. Put up my scripture. The scripture says this. He says, is it time for my house to lie in ruins while you live in paneled houses? He says, that's why your pockets have holes in them. He says, that's why you drink, but you can't quench your thirst. He says, this is why you got holes in all your stuff, because my house lies in ruins and you trying to live fancy and free. In other words, he's saying, it's time for my house to be built. That's what he was telling the people. Put the scripture up for me. Hallelujah. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple lie in ruins? In other words, God got a problem when the people living good in his house is a mess. The scripture declares, he says, so ain't nothing gonna work for you till this get together. So when you see the house of the Lord level up, when you see us go to another level, when you see God do the supernatural, are you listening to me? You better get ready, because if it happened in this house, your house is next. And some of you have been waiting on homes. Some of you have been waiting on breakthrough. Some of you have been waiting on prosperity. Some of you have been waiting on miracles. And I'm here to let you know, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and these things shall be what? Added. Somebody say, he's getting ready to add. I looked up that word add. It means to annex. It means to annex. You know how we annex when we get land, when we conquer land, when you overtake land? That's an annexation. He says that's what that word add means. In other words, territory that has been unconquered is about to get conquered by you. Are you listening to me? When Solomon built the temple, the scripture says this. The scripture says that God allowed him, after he built the house, he says, whatever you have in your house, in your heart, for my house and your house. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 11. He says, whatever you did in my house and your house, I'm going to make it happen. In other words, because it happened in my house, I'm getting ready to bless your house. I'm getting ready to increase you and your house because of what you had made happen from my house. Now, if you're not a tither and not a giver, I don't expect you to get excited. But if you sowed in this house, if you gave in this house, I want to let you know that God's getting ready to make Egypt pay for the bondage. Everything that the devil stole, he got to give back. Everything that broke has got to be restored. Everything that was stolen, sevenfold return. Everything you've been waiting on is about to be released. I declare blessing and the favor of this house over God's people, and the same God that did it for the fountain is going to do it for you. The same God that broke through for this house is going to break through for you. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Somebody, whose house is next? Whose house is next? Whose house is next? Say, my house is next. My house is next. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you did in this temple. We thank you for your glory. We thank you, Lord God. It is not by might, not by power, but he said, by my spirit. 25 projects in 15 months. Exactly what we said. Jesus stepped in, and immediately we were on the other side. We sowed in the year of famine and received 100-fold in the same year. He performed his word. We've been teaching it. We've been prophesying it. We've been declaring it. I want to let you know he did it. He did it. He's faithful to keep his word. He watches over his word. And the same God that did it for this church, he's going to do it for you. He's going to do it for you. Come on, lift those hands right there. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you've done. Now we glorify you. Hallelujah. Raise the faith of your people. We thank you that you're encouraging their hearts, that you're still the God of miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. You're just getting started in this house. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We're out of time. To enjoy more teaching, visit JaronCO'Neal.com or listen to Jaron C. O'Neal Podcast on all of your favorite platforms. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday morning celebration and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. for Rock With Me Wednesday Bible study. Watch us live on the Fountain Church app or Facebook Live. And you can also watch us on FountainChurch.com. We look forward to seeing you soon. Until then, remember, everything you need is in the fountain.